I'm looking at Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 through 28. I preached a couple of sermons on the outcast at late. I won't preach another message on the outcast. Verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Notice what? My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. He just stood in silence. He answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. She cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, Lord, help me. How many of us have prayed that prayer? Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Lord, help me. Man, he says, it's not meet for me to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, true, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I want to preach on this Canaanite woman here that was a Gentile woman, that the Lord went and traveled a long ways, probably about 35 miles. I don't know if he walked or went in a donkey train or a camel train, but he traveled about 35 miles to Tyre to get to this Canaanite woman to minister salvation to her and her family. Could you be seated in the Lord's presence this morning? Keep in mind that Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel first and foremost. He was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He came to his own. At first, the vineyard of salvation was let out to his own people, the Jewish people, the Israelite people. He came to his own, but his own received him not. But the Bible said, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of the will of man or of the flesh, but of God. So Jesus first came to his own, but his own rejected him. Jesus was a rule breaker. He really was. Jesus broke the rules of the Jewish people when he left Israel, when he left northern Galilee to cross over into Gentile territory about 35 miles to meet this Canaanite woman that had a daughter that was grievously vexed with the devil. I don't know, you know, for sure, I've read a lot of commentary on this, why he left Israel. Maybe it was to escape the hostility of the Pharisees, Sadducees, the scribes, the press of the people. You know, maybe he just wanted some quiet time, but I don't think so. I believe when Jesus left northern Galilee to go to Tyre, him being omniscient, him knowing everything about everybody, every circumstance, Jesus was omniscient. I believe he had this woman in his heart when he left northern Galilee to go to Tyre. So they traveled to Tyre. And there's a woman of Canaan that comes out crying. I mean, she's crying to the Lord with all of her heart. Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter's at home grievously vexed with the devil. She's just tormented with the devil. And he answered her not a word. He just stood speechless. He remained silent. He just looked at her. She's coming. She's bowing. She's prostrating herself. She's repeatedly crying, Lord, thou son of David, thou son of David. That's a Jewish title. Have mercy upon me. He stands silent. He doesn't answer a word. You'd think that's a major turnoff. And it was. To you and I, that'd be a major turnoff. But you see, this woman had a great need. This woman had a daughter that was tormented of the devil. I believe we've got family members. We've got local people. We've got people we reach out to. That's not just them tormented by the devil, but they got family members and loved ones that's tormented by the devil. This woman loved her daughter. And he said, and the disciples said, Lord, just give her what she wants and send her away. Get her out of here. She's making an awful ruckus. She's bowing, she's worshiping, she's crying, she's pleading, repeatedly saying, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the disciples, you know, like an entourage around him and saying, let's push her out of here, let's get her out of here because, you know, she's making a real scene. And the Lord answers her and says, it's not meet for me to cast the children's bread and give it to dogs. Boy, you talk about a turnoff. Now, that would really be a knockdown, wouldn't it? I mean, she's got a daughter that's tormented by the devil, praying and pleading with the Lord with all of her heart. The disciple said, get her out of here. And the Lord says, man, it's not meet that I give the children's bread to dogs. And she might have said, Lord, I know I'm not a child of God. I know I'm not a Jewish child, but could I have a dog's portion? Could I have the scraps that fall from the master's table? Could I just get a crumb of this bread? I know I'm not Jewish. I know I'm not an Israelite. I know I'm a Canaanite, but could I just get a crumb of this bread? And I know if I do, my daughter will be made whole. And he looked at that woman and said, I've never seen so great faith. No, not in all of Israel. Now let me bring to your attention, Jesus was a rule breaker. Do you remember the first Gentile company that came to see Jesus was the Magi's? The Magi's came from the east. They followed the star all the way from the east. I will tell you, I'm talking to some people this morning that's following that star. We're Gentiles ourselves following that star. They went all the way to Bethlehem's house, and there was Jesus, the child Jesus. And them Magi brought him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, acknowledged him as prophet, priest, and king. This is an encounter with the Jewish, with the Canaanite people. Keep in mind there's been bitter feelings between them for centuries, probably for 800 years. This Canaanite people, they were false worshipers, Baal worshipers. They were idolaters. They were heathens. They didn't know nothing about Jewish rules or Jewish law or Jewish faith. You know, they didn't know nothing about the faith of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew about Ashtaroth. They knew about Baal worship. And they were considered heathens. There was extremely bitter feelings between the Jewish people and the Greeks. But Jesus didn't let that hinder him. Jesus didn't let them bitter feelings stop him. And I want to say to the ministry today, not just in this house, but listening online, if you let the bitter feelings of other people stop you, you'll never make destiny with the Lord. Because people hold grudges. People have bitter feelings. People don't get over it. But Jesus did not let that stop him. He crossed all barriers. And he went over into Canaanite territory. I believe he knew where he was going before he left northern Galilee and traveled and met this Canaanite woman that's got a daughter grievously vexed with the devil. Now keep in mind, this is 15 years before the time of the Gentiles. I mean, here's a woman. It was before her time. I mean, Jesus' main ministry was to the Jewish people. Now the vineyard's going to be let out, but Calvary's not taking place. And the day of Pentecost has not happened. And the church has not been born yet. So this is about 15 years prior to the time of the Gentiles. But she came and said, Jesus, I mean, I got a real family hurt. I've got a family need that's bigger than me. Would you come and heal my daughter? He remained silent. Finally, he said, it's not meet for me to give the children's bread to the dog. And the disciples said, get her out of here. She's crying after her. She's making a scene. There'll be a mob here after a while. But Jesus said she had great faith. 15 years before the time of the Gentiles. Here's a woman that never had a Bible. Here's a woman that never had a promise. Here's a woman that's living in enemy territory. And keep in mind, she was a woman. It was a man's world back then. But she pressed her way in. I'm telling you, God's calling people from obscure places. God's calling people that's got some very difficult circumstances. Very painful, very hurtful. When he remained silent and said, I can't help you, you're a dog, she didn't let that stop her. How many of you know that Jesus knows how to bring the best out of you? I would have thought that approach would be devastating. I would have thought, man, if you ever said the wrong thing to anybody, Jesus, you said it to her. But because her need was so great and her love for her family was so great that she pressed in and pressed in and kept pressing in until he said, man, I've never seen such great faith. No, not in all of Israel. You might wonder, what is it that brings intercessory prayer out of me? What is it that keeps me praying day and night? It is your love for your family, your love for your community, your love for people. Yes, foremost, your love for the Lord. But it's your love for your family, your community, your people, your surroundings. You can ask Mary, we pray day and night. I'm always praying or always reading the Bible, always doing something to advance the call of God in my life. So this woman pressed in, looks to me like before her time. And Jesus met her need. How many of you realize that he's still got power over Satan's work in your life, in your family, in your marriage, in your home life, in your ministry? He's still got power over Satan's work. And he's still answering the cry of his people. She cried after him. What was it she said? Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. No matter the need, Jesus can never turn from a desperate cry for mercy. No matter what your need is this morning, Jesus can never turn down a desperate cry for mercy. She cried for the Son of David to hear her. She cried not for herself, but for other persons. Another person, her daughter. She considered her daughter's problem her very own problem. I'm talking about crying to the Lord. She considered her daughter's being grievously tormented by the devil her own problem. And that's why she couldn't take no for an answer. Thank you, Nike. It was not an option. It was not an option. She greatly loved her daughter. It was not an option. I'm thinking of the blind man Bartimaeus. When Bartimaeus got wind that the Lord was in the area, Bartimaeus, being a blind man that had never had vision, had never saw, no sight, he continued to cry, have mercy upon me, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And Jesus heard his cry. And Jesus opened his eyes. Now, you may have never been in a position to need mercy, but I can tell you, I've been in the position to need a lot of mercy. I've been shown great mercy. I want to display great mercy to people, the mercy of the Lord. Some people might wonder why I am merciful. I've been shown mercy. I've been shown mercy. You know, the next thing I see here is verse 23 and verse 24, the persistence that would not quit. She kept after Jesus despite his silence, despite the objection of the disciples, despite her being undeserving. The disciples had two lessons to learn. Number one, faith has to be awakened in a person's heart before Christ can minister to them. That's foremost. Number two, you can't haphazardly approach Christ with a nonchalant attitude. You can't come to him half-hearted, nonchalant, in a haphazard way. This woman had a burden for her daughter. I mean, she was not ashamed. She went right out into the crowd, got right down prostrated before the Lord, began to plead and beg and say, Lord, my daughter, she's got to have help or she'll die. I believe that is the attitude, that is the virtue, that's the attitude in prayer that the Lord will not refuse. What Norma Jean said this morning, prayed for 43 years for her family. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Heard my dad say he prayed 20 years for his mom to get saved before it happened. I get up every morning. Usually Mary and I either hold hands or sit together every night. And I cover all my family, most of the time name by name in prayer. My community, our church, walk these aisles. She'll be here with me at night a lot of nights, praying for everyone, calling them out by name, knowing their needs. God can't turn that away. We must minister with compassion for the person. We must pray and we must minister with compassion for the person of need. You might say, what does compassion mean? It speaks of sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. Victims should be treated with compassion. Could you say amen? What is compassion? It's to feel the loss and the hurt of other people. If you don't have that in your heart, you need to pray through till you get it. It's to feel the losses of other people. One suffers with those who suffer. One weeps with those who weep. One rejoices when others are honored. I'm talking about compassion this morning. Next thing I see this morning is the spirit of humility and surrender. Verse 26 and 27. The woman was a Greek, a proud people with a heritage who despised the Jews. She was a worshiper of false gods. She was a heathen. She was an outsider, a sinner. And he was the Messiah. The Messiah, the master of all lives. She was willing to humble and surrender herself to him as the master of her life. I'm telling you how to get a hold of Jesus, how to get his attention. When he left northern Galilee to go to Tyre and Sidon, I believe he knew where he was going before he ever left. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knew that woman was there. He knew for 800 years there's bitter feelings between the Greeks and the Israelite people. He knew that. He knew there was no fellowship between the Jews and the Samaritans or between the Greeks and the Jews. And he knew about all these barriers. If you're going to build a church today, you got to be willing to cross burial lines. If you're going to build a church today, if you're going to reach people today, you got to be willing to cross burial lines. Because there's plenty of them drawn today. The next thing I want to say here before I come to a close, the woman had a great faith. I got to give it to this woman. She had a great faith. One thing rises above all others in the experience of this mother. One thing. She had faith. She had faith. Despite being met with silence, despite being met with irritation, opposition, apparent rebuff, and being told that she was undeserving, she was a Greek, she never had no promise, there was no way to describe the scene that I see with this woman except this woman had great faith. This woman had great faith. You might raise the question and say, what is great faith? It's a desperate cry of need. Great faith is a desperate cry of need. I'm not preaching in the air this morning. I believe the Holy Spirit is anointing my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Because as much as the Lord knows what this woman's need was, He knows what my need is. He knows what your need is. He knows where we're at in life, and He knows where the lines are drawn, and He's willing to cross all lines. He's willing to go into Gentile territory, and He's willing to be a rule breaker. He's willing to come to you and meet your need in spite of circumstances. Give the Lord some hallelujah in the house. Again, I say, what is great faith? It's a desperate cry of need. It's a persistence that will not quit. It's a spirit that worships Jesus as Lord. It's a spirit of humility and surrender to the Lord. It's a faith that refuses to quit. It's a faith that receives its request. There's only two people in the New Testament I read that had great faith. That was this woman, this Canaanite woman, and the centurion. That's the only two I've seen in the scripture, New Testament scripture, that had great faith in the Gospels, was this woman and the centurion. Do you remember the story of the centurion in Matthew chapter 8? He came to the Lord and said, Lord, he said, my servant is lying at home sick with the palsy. Would you come and heal him? And he said, yeah, I'll come. He said, well, my house is not worthy for your entry. But he said, Jesus, if you'd just speak the word only, you don't have to come into my home. You don't have to come into my house. It's not worthy for your presence. But if you just speak the word only, even at a distance, I know that my servant would be made whole. And Jesus said, I've never seen such great faith as I'm hearing from your lips. I believe there's people in this house that's got great faith. And I believe the Lord's honoring our great faith in this house this morning. And I'm coming to a close. Our faith is tested too. Don't give up. Don't quit praying. Don't quit crying. Because remember, Jesus hears and answers the desperate cry of his people, especially when they're like this Canaanite woman and just won't be hushed. Do you remember the widow woman? She kept going to the unjust judge, Luke 18, crying day and night to the unjust judge. I need relief from my adversary that's troubling me. I need an answer of victory. He wouldn't come through for her. He wouldn't come through, he wouldn't answer. But though he was unjust and never had no fear of God or man, because this widow kept crying to him day and night. She kept crying. She kept going before the bench. She kept pleading her case. Man, I got to have victory over this adversary. He answered her speedily. Though he was unjust and never feared God, yet he gave her request. He answered her speedily. To all my media audience this morning, I'd like for you to connect with me and let me know that you're out there. I'd like to see a view that you are listening. And let me say, if you don't know Jesus, he's just a prayer away, and he loves everybody. Thank you.